want to take us back to a very different Christmas. A Christmas more than 100 years ago. Christmas Eve, 1914. War had been raging for only 4 months. Soldiers on both sides were trapped in trenches, exposed to the cold, covered in mud. German soldiers began putting little Christmas trees, maybe like the ones we have hanging on the pillars, up on the parapets, and little candles on the trenches. Hundreds of German Christmas trees lining the trenches. The British soldiers could see the lights and thought maybe it was some sort of trick. But then a few minutes later, they thought, what is that sound? As they heard the German soldiers celebrating. The German soldiers began singing a Christmas carol. One of the British soldiers wrote afterwards, they finished their carol and so we thought we ought to retaliate in some way. So we sang the first Noel. And when we'd finished that, they all began clapping and then struck up another one of their favourites, O Tannenbaum. And so it went on. First the Germans would sing one of their carols, then we would sing one of ours, until we started singing O Come All Ye Faithful, and the Germans immediately joined in with Adeste Fidelis, the same hymn in Latin. Two nations at war singing the same carol to each other. In some parts of the line, soldiers got up and walked out into no man's land. Corporal John Ferguson wrote this, soon most of our company, hearing that I and some others had gone out, followed us. What a sight. Little groups of Germans and British extending almost the length of the front. Where they couldn't talk the language, they were making themselves understood by signs. And everyone seemed to get on very nicely. Here we were laughing and chatting to men who only a few hours beforehand we were trying to kill. At one point, a member of the Bedfordshire Regiment produced a football. And as you may well know, soldiers from both sides began playing a game, England versus Germany, and the ball was deflated on a piece of barbed wire. One of the gold scorers on that day, a man called Oswald Tilley, wrote this, the experience of that day was one of the most practical demonstrations I've ever seen of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Then, of course, he and others went back to shooting one another for another 4 years. Before there was peace. What was the cost of that peace? In that war, it cost hundreds and thousands of lives. We have a reminder of the cost of that peace on the wall of our church. If you look over to my right-hand side, your left, on the wall of our church there, you'll see a cross stuck onto the wall. That cross was first hammered into the mud at Pozieres in 1916. To remember the countless Australian soldiers of the 17th Battalion that died to bring peace. The cost of peace is written into the timber of that century-old cross. Christmas and peace are often linked together, aren't they, in our minds? They're often linked together because we sing hymns like the one we're about to sing. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. That choir of angels appeared to a small group of shepherds, and as the angels sang, they proclaimed, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men on whom his favour rests. Jesus came to bring peace. Of course, if the angels on that night were telling us that Jesus came to bring peace like we fight for in war, peace between nations, then Jesus was an abject failure. That peace still eludes us. Jesus didn't come to bring peace between nations. At this time of year, we tend to look back on the year that is past. If Jesus came to bring peace between the nations of the earth, then he was a failure. But neither does Jesus seem very successful at bringing peace between us with each other in our relationships. We are more divided and dismissive of each other now than I think we've been for a long while. as we think back over the last year. That dream of unity in diversity is rapidly becoming a nightmare, and I seem to have disappeared into the darkness. But that peace that Jesus brings, still eludes us. The peace that Jesus brings isn't a peace between nations or a peace between us in our relationships. The peace that Jesus came to bring was a peace between God and us. As we'll sing in just a moment, it's a peace that is, and they said there was light. There was a peace that is God and sinners reconciled. It's not a political peace. It's not a relational peace at our horizontal level. It's a vertical peace between us and God. We are all at war with God by nature. It might be subtle. It might just be a war of silent ignorance. But Jesus came to bring far more than a Christmas truce between him and us. At Christmas, Jesus came to bring peace that lasts. Peace between us and our God and Maker. A peace that we can have complete confidence and assurance in. What did that peace cost? Well, look again to the cross on our wall. The peace that Jesus came to bring at Christmas cost him his life. The innocent one dying in the place of the guilty. The perfect one bearing the punishment that we imperfect creatures deserve. And as he rises in victory and empties that cross, he breaks down the barrier of peace. He breaks down the barrier that leads to peace between us and God. There's a twist, as the angel said. It is peace for those on whom God's favour rests. And that has to be our most vital question this Christmas. Are we those upon whom God's favour rests? Are we those who have this peace between us and God? Trusting what Jesus has come to do. Trusting in that unconditional peace and armistice that Jesus brings. Will you put your trust in the one who brings peace? Not just a Christmas peace, but a lasting peace, an eternal peace between us and our loving Creator God. That's our prayer here at St. Thomas's, for us and for each other, that we would experience this real peace and have complete confidence and assurance in the one who came and paid the cost to make that peace possible.